Hi, this is Greg, and I'll be reading you excerpts from this week's Mashpee Enterprise, dated Friday, September 30, 2022. We're going to start, like we always do, with the weekend weather. Saturday, look for showers, a high of 62 degrees, a low of 52. And Sunday, more showers and wind, a high of 59 degrees and a low of 50. Moving on to top stories. Special election for open select board seat is Tuesday. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. Mashpee voters will decide between two candidates for an open seat on the select board in a special election on Tuesday. The election will take place at the Quashnet Elementary School Gymnasium from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. The school is at 150 Old Barnstable Road. Candidates for the positions are Mashpee Finance Committee Vice Chairman A. Gregory McKelvey and town resident Michaela Wyman Colombo. Former Select Board Chairman Andrew R. Gottlieb resigned from his position on the board in August, leaving the open seat. Conservation Department sees projects moving forward. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. In an update on conservation projects and efforts in Mashpee, conservation agent Andrew R. McManus gave positive news to Conservation Commission members regarding invasive species eradication at John's Pond, continued efforts at the Redbrook Road culvert, and the restoration of Chapchack Bog. The latest survey results regarding milfoil in John's Pond indicated the invasive milfoil species has been entirely eradicated from John's Pond, Mr. McManus said. Now Mr. McManus is working with various associations around John's Pond to create public advisory signage at private town landings and update current signage at the one public town landing on Hoopole Road. This is to make the public aware of the importance of washing off watercrafts to prevent the spread of invasive species. Mr. McManus said the signage is intended to really get more visible signage put up advising the public of this issue of how easy it is to transport invasive species, not just by motorboat, but by canoe and kayak as well, and the importance of making sure your boats are washed thoroughly before you enter a new body of water from a previous water body. Commission Chairman Paul D. Colombo inquired when the first milfoil treatment occurred on John's Pond. The first round of treatment occurred at the tail end of the growing season last September or early October, Mr. McManus said. A follow-up survey will be conducted in December to make sure the milfoil has been 100% eradicated from the pond. The permit to remove the milfoil is through the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, the conservation agent said, and he believes it covers 5 years for any pop-up of additional invasive aquatic vegetation with the option of extension. In regards to Santuit Pond's milfoil infestation, he said efforts are ongoing. The town is still working on having a conversation with the Mashpee Department of Natural Resources and the contractor to figure out the best time to treat the milfoil around all other issues affecting the pond. Regarding the Chapchack Bog restoration, Mr. McManus said permit-level plans have been submitted by Sandwich-based Horsley Witten Group. The plans are almost at permit level, he said, and project partners are discussing them. For the most part, I think they look almost ready to go, he said. Continuing the conversation, Mr. McManus said there has been some feedback on achieving proper excavation depth to get groundwater to make sure there is an area of wetland restoration, including deeper wetlands and shallow marsh areas. The plans should be finalized within the coming weeks, with minor modifications, he said. We are still progressing nicely in a timely fashion in accordance with the contract that we have with the town and the state's in-lieu fee program, he said. We are still in line for project completion, full restoration of the Chopchak Bogs to wetland by the winter of 2023, which is exciting to see this progress really nicely and smoothly. He also plans to reach out to Horsley Witten Group to attend an upcoming Conservation Commission meeting to give a formal presentation on the finalized project plans. In addition, the Redbrook Road culvert is still in the second stage of searching for funding opportunities for the next phase of restoration, planning, and permitting based on the conceptual reports by Horsley Witten Group, Mr. McManus said. Due to a COVID-19 outbreak, Mr. McManus said he was unable to attend a Seabrook Village Association meeting, an organization for a nearby residential development off Redbrook Road, but instead requested any questions regarding the project from the meeting be directed to his office. It would probably be good to have Horsley Witten attend a future meeting to present their conceptual recommendations, he said. A formal presentation would give association members or other members of the public a chance to ask questions on the restoration efforts directly to the consultant, he said. Schools Rebuilding Food Services Program. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. The Mashpee School District's food services program is being rebuilt and rebranded with the arrival earlier this year of a new director, Kevin Dallasapriti, and a new assistant director, Olivia Bankston. We were very fortunate to find both of these individuals to come in and take over the rebuilding and rebranding of the food services department, which is getting a lot of positive feedback, Superintendent Patricia M. DeBoer said during the Mashpee School Committee meeting last Wednesday. With both positions starting in the spring, Mr. Dallasapriti said the students reached out late last year to provide feedback and ideas for the program. Increasing meal options and cooking from scratch are just some of the changes the program has already implemented. Mr. Dallasapriti said the participation level of students, especially at Mashpee Middle High School, has greatly increased from the previous school year, despite only being 2 weeks into the current one. From last year's numbers, the program was feeding 200 to 218 students. As of last Wednesday, out of a student population of approximately 600 students, the program fed 418 students. The nutrition portion we are trying to bring in is all the gluten-free allergies, the plant-based food kids. It's way more than it was last year or the year before, Mr. Dallasapriti said. It's an endless supply of options that we have to accommodate everybody. Mr. Dallasapriti has a background in healthcare and nursing facility food service. He also owns a restaurant and has been in the business for the past 30 years, he said. Ms. Bankston is a recent graduate of the University of Rhode Island's Nutrition and Dietetics Bachelor of Science program. She also completed a dietetic internship with the Plymouth School District's food service program. With this being her first full-time position in food service, Ms. Bankston said she was grateful for the opportunity to be part of the Mashpee District. Ms. DeBoer added that she has never seen so many different offerings available to the students at MMHS. In conversations with students, she said many were amazed at the quality of food and are loving their available options. I definitely think coming out of COVID, there weren't a lot of options available, and that's where we needed to start, Mr. Dallasapriti said. Someone who is gluten-free in this day and age should be able to have every option that everyone else can have, he said. At the moment, he said the focus of the program is at MMHS, which has the largest population of students. Committee Vice Chairwoman Kathy Lewis commended the pair for their rebuilding of the food service program, noting that she has a very happy eighth grader. Ms. DeBoer added that the long-term idea is to have Ms. Bengston teach a course or provide opportunities for students at lunch to learn about nutritional options. Schools welcome second SRO. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. Mashpee Police Officer Peter Cogswell, a 2010 graduate of Mashpee Middle High School, has joined the Mashpee School District as its second school resource officer. He joins Officer Katie Hennessy as an SRO for the three Mashpee schools. After completing a year of college, he joined the U.S. Army, where he was a military police officer for 4 years. He has served for the past 4 years as an officer with the Mashpee Police Department. As an MMHS alumnus, he said he feels he has a unique perspective to offer students. His mother, Suzanne Shea, has also been a teacher at the Kenneth C. Coombs School for more than 20 years. I am from Mashpee, went through the school system and played sports here. I remember being a kid who went through this school system and looking up to kids in sports programs. I thought it was a great time to sort of take that type of position, he said. The schools, the coaches, the teachers made me who I am today. I know who I needed when I was that age, and I think I can be that for a lot of these kids. An SRO focuses primarily on safety and relationship building with students and staff. Both officers will rotate among the Coombs, Quashnet, and Middle High Schools. Our main goal is to interact with both the students and the staff from all three schools, said Officer Hennessy, who has been the district's lone SRO for the past 3 years during the Mashpee School Committee meeting on September 21. I've been working with Katie Hennessy so that I can hit the ground running. She has been awesome just making sure that I am up to speed on everything, Officer Cogswell said. The SROs are generally available during school arrivals and dismissals, along with conducting regular safety and perimeter checks at the schools. They also teach classes, including pre-kindergarten community helpers, a social media safety class for 5th and 6th graders, and an impaired driving/alcohol and substance use course for 9th and 10th graders. As we have been developing the program a little bit more, we are adding things to it, and students come to us and ask for different things, Officer Hennessy said. She also mentioned the importance of having a male and female officer represented in each of the schools. It is just building those relationships with those kids and the staff, making them feel safe and comfortable with our uniform and knowing if they see us out on the road, we are approachable and humans underneath this, she said. The 5th and 6th grade social media program was created by Officer Hennessy, Director of Guidance and College and Career Readiness, Lindsay Kett, and Director of Instructional Technology, Susie Brooks, in 2021 as an early intervention initiative. There are plans in the near future to offer the same course for 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, Officer Hennessy said. These courses were run on a class-by-class basis to give students a more direct and safe approach to the topic, Superintendent Patricia M. DeBoer said during the committee meeting. The superintendent also thanked Mashpee Police Chief Scott W. Carline and his department for their shared focus on the safety of students and staff. These are top-notch people that we are so grateful that we have working with us every day, she said. The support from the town and the value that they place in their work are more important because we talk about how important it is for school resource officers to really interact and build relationships with students. That comes back in later years in a positive way when they interact with families. Moving on to the bits and pieces section of page 2, CPC to hold public hearing. The Mashpee Community Preservation Committee is holding a public hearing Thursday, October 6, at 6:30 p.m. to solicit input from citizens on the needs, possibilities, and resources as they relate to the four Community Preservation Act eligible activities: historic preservation, recreation, affordable housing, and open space. The committee will also be available to answer questions regarding the application process for CPA funds at the meeting. The hearing will take place at the Mashpee Senior Center at 26 Frank E. Hicks Drive. Town to hire new assistant conservation agent. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. The town of Mashpee is in the process of hiring a new assistant conservation agent, Daniel Kent. Conservation agent Andrew R. McManus made the announcement during the Conservation Commission meeting last Thursday. Mr. Kent's second interview with the town manager, Rodney C. Collins, and assistant town manager, Wayne E. Taylor, was conducted last Wednesday. Unaware of Mr. Kent's current employment situation, Mr. McManus said he could be expected to start in Mashpee in the coming weeks. "I would anticipate still another 1 or 2 weeks away from the start date," he said. "It's good to finalize a candidate and get through that. Help is on the way." Former assistant conservation agent Kaylin Cadaret left her position with the town after 7 years this past June. CONCOM supports river signage. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. The Mashpee Conservation Commission voted unanimously in favor of creating signage with the names of rivers at multiple locations along major roads in town. The Mashpee Historical Commission brought the request forward during the Conservation Commission's meeting last Thursday. The signs will be blue with white lettering in both English and the Wampanoag language, Commission Chairman Paul D. Colombo said. Signage requests were made for the Mashpee River at Main Street / Route 130, Great Neck Road North and Falmouth Road / Route 28. On the Charles River, plans are to place signage on Route 151 and Old Barnstable Road. For the Quashnet River, a signage request was made for Old Barnstable Road, Redbrook Road, and Route 151 as well. The Santuit River would have signage at Sampson's Mill Road, he said. Conservation agent Andrew R. McManus said he has plans to follow up with the Historical Commission on a timeline for the river signage request. Following a procedural question regarding funding the project from the commission member Marjorie A. Claprood, Mr. McManus added that although a method of funding was not mentioned in the Historical Commission request, he is under the impression the Historical Commission will fund or seek funding for the project. The Conservation Commission has funding available for improvements on conservation lands when needed, including things like signage, he said. Mr. Colombo inquired about who would install the signage, to which Mr. McManus said the Mashpee Department of Public Works would make the most sense. Ms. Alfano's candidacy certified. Born resident Kathleen Fox Alfano, who ran a write-in campaign for state representative in the 3rd Barnstable District in the primary election, has been certified by the Election Division of the Secretary of State's office to appear on the November 8 state election ballot as the Democratic candidate for the seat. Ms. Fox Alfano, who lives on Jeffers Road, has a background in both business and public service. Her priorities are the environment, the new canal bridges, workforce housing, women's rights, and the local economy. Ms. Fox Alfano was a successful write-in candidate for Massachusetts House of Representatives for the 3rd Barnstable District in the primary election on September 6. She received 78 votes in Falmouth to put her over the 150 votes needed to appear on the November ballot. Ms. Fox Alfano, a resident of Bourne, has been endorsed by the Upper Cape Women's Coalition. She will face incumbent Representative David T. Vieira, Republican of Falmouth, in the race. The 3rd Barnstable District includes all of Mashpee and parts of Bourne and Falmouth. Interpretive Nature Tours. The Mashpee Conservation Department is hosting free naturalist-guided tours of the town's conservation areas. Many programs are designed for children and their families. Tours may be canceled in the event of stormy weather. All tours, which are on Saturdays beginning at 9 a.m., will practice social distancing guidelines. October 1, Mashpee River Woodlands, the Cottontail Trail. Heading south from Route 28, take Old Barnstable Road, a one-way road just before the Mashpee Rotary. Parking area is on the right. October 8, South Cape Beach State Park. Walk the Dead Neck Trail along the Barrier Beach system at South Cape Beach State Park. From Mashpee Rotary, take Great Neck Road south to Great Oak Road. Follow to State Park sign and turn left into park. Parking lot is on the right. October 15, Natural Succession at John's Pond Park. Hike along a freshwater pond, river, herring run, and cranberry bog. From Mashpee Rotary, take Route 151 past Falmouth Town Line, turn right at Courier Road just past Barnstable County Fairgrounds, then right onto Hooppole Road past Ashumet Holly Reservation, 1.2 miles to the stop sign at the end of the road, then right onto Back Road through Otis Trailer Village to Town Beach Parking Area. October 22. Fitch Property, Mashpee River Woodlands. Meet at 233 Meeting House Road. From Mashpee Rotary, take Great Neck Road north, turn right onto Meeting House Road. Parking lot is on right. October 29, Conomet Neck Excursion. Take a hike into Conomet Neck at the Lowell Holly Reservation with views of Mashpee Wakeby Pond. From Route 130, take South Sandwich Road north and follow 0.8 miles to the parking area on the left. Community Connections earns accreditation. Community Connections, Inc., a Cape-based nonprofit serving people with disabilities, has been issued a 3-year accreditation by the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, or CARF, International, for their community integration services. Following a peer review process, CARF International, a nonprofit that promotes high-quality services through evaluating and accrediting organizations based on a set of standards, has determined that Community Connections services and measures represent the highest level of accreditation, the organization said in a press release. Historical Commission to host open house. The Mashpee Historical Commission will host an open house in the town's archive building across from Town Hall on Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday, October 10, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. In addition to a complete display of Mashpee and Wampanoag history, this year's theme will focus on Pompanesset and Mashpee sports during the 1980s and 1990s, with extensive photos of both early Pompanesset and Wilson's Grove and photos of individual players on all of Mashpee's sports teams during the 1980s and 1990s. Admission is free, and all are welcome to come and see and learn a little of our town's unique history. Resident offers to erect pole for town seal flag at Rotary. This story is by Mackenzie Ryan. Mashpee resident Charles E. Chuck Gazior has offered to fund a fourth flagpole at the Mashpee Rotary to fly the new town seal along with the other existing flags. Mr. Gacier said he has had a vision for the Rotary spanning more than 20 years. When he first arrived in the town in 2000, while driving along Route 151, Mr. Gacier said he observed a lone, rusted flagpole standing among trees at the Mashpee Rotary. Feeling as though the town and its residents deserved more to represent the community, he began looking for a way to initiate a change, he said. In 2005, while serving as a member of the Mashpee Finance Committee, he donated $115 to purchase a new American flag for the location. He eventually had a direct hand in placing the larger American flag, along with the Massachusetts flag and Wampanoag tribal flag that many are accustomed to seeing fly in the center of the Rotary. During the select board meeting on September 12, Mr. Gacier spoke during public comment to try and expand on his efforts from years ago. Pointing to the new town seal adorning the Wacoyot meeting room in Town Hall, Mr. Gacier said, "Seeing that seal up there is spectacular," adding that he has suggested to Mashpee Historical Commission member Richard P. DeSorger and town administrators that a fourth flagpole should be erected at the Mashpee Rotary with the town seal. In conversations, Mr. Gacier said he has been told this would be possible to do. "I think it would be appropriate to have that on the Rotary, and I would be willing to pay for the flagpole if you give it approval," he said. Select Board Chairman David W. Whedon thanked Mr. Gacier for his offer before proceeding with public comment. Mr. DeSorger then spoke, commending and supporting Mr. Gazier's efforts. "This town seal is just so beautiful, and it really represents so much that is Mashpee," he said. He also referred to the original naming of the Rotary, Pine Tree Corner, in 1985, and asked if the select board would consider some type of signage that did not conflict with existing signs or cause a safety hazard to be erected in recognition of the Rotary's official name. Mr. DeSorger suggested putting a wooden sign displaying the official name of the Rotary below the proposed fourth flagpole with the new town seal flag. Feet for Flippers 5K registration open. The National Marine Life Center will be holding its 12th annual Feet for Flippers 5K on Saturday, October 15 at 9 a.m. in Buzzards Bay. Proceeds will go to support the NMLC's mission or providing care and treatment to sick or injured seals and sea turtles. The 5K walk and run will take place both in person and virtually. The in-person route is along the Cape Cod Canal, a certified USATF course, meaning run times can be considered for records or national standings. Virtual participants are asked to have their times completed by race day. After the race, walkers and runners are invited to stick around for prizes, activities, and post-race celebrations. Registration cost is $30 until the day of the race, at which point it will be $40. Registration for students or children is $25 using the promo code STUDENT OR KID. The registration fee will include a Nalgene water bottle, and the first 200 registrants will also receive a race t-shirt. The event is sponsored by Sea Turtle Solar, Coastal Engineering, AD Makepeace Companies, Joseph P. Carlson & Associates, Sperber & Cruz Realty, The Liquor Barn, Betty Ann's Dairy Freeze, and Steve Parks. Well, folks, we've reached the halfway point of our reading today. And as regular listeners are aware, at this stage of the broadcast, we move on to the obituaries. Our first obituary is Matthew E. Dudley. Matthew E. Dudley, 34, of Mashpee, died September 12 at Falmouth Hospital. He was the husband of Crystal L. Ducott Dudley. Mr. Dudley worked as a consultant in the field of energy services. Formerly of Cabot, Vermont, the family camp on Lake Eden was a memorable part of his life. He had a lifelong passion for music, enjoyed playing basketball and rugby, and often went fishing. He was preceded in death by his father, Howard W. Dudley, maternal grandparents Nancy and Robert Morse, and paternal grandparents Dorothy and Roger Dudley. A celebration of his life will be Sunday, October 16, at noon, at Bourne Scenic Park, 370 Scenic Highway, in Buzzards Bay. Daniel H. Clayton. Daniel Harold Clayton of Sandwich, formerly of Falmouth, died September 24 from Parkinson's disease at the age of 78. He leaves family in Mashpee. He was the husband of Nancy L. Clayton, to whom he was married for 39 years. Mr. Clayton was raised in the Midwest and was a veteran of the Vietnam War. After getting a college degree and settling on Cape Cod, he soon met the woman he would marry, a single mother of four children. The couple wed in 1983, and he helped to raise them into adulthood, taking pride in being a father and seeing their successes. As his wife's real estate business was growing, Mr. Clayton got his real estate license as well. He had an affinity for Volkswagen Beetles and also enjoyed being on his exercise bike. Willard C. Wiener. Willard C. Bill Wiener of Mashpee, formerly of Falmouth, passed away September 19, 2022, at Laurentide, an assisted living facility, at the age of 92. He was born in Westchester, PA, the son of the late Georgette Kubler and Howard H. Wiener. Mr. Wiener was raised and educated in Westchester, PA, and graduated from Michigan State University with a degree in hotel-motel management. He was the owner of the Silver Lounge restaurant in North Falmouth for 45 years. Through the years, Bill expanded the restaurant by adding a country store, a caboose, and a flower business. In the 1960s, Bill also taught hotel restaurant management at Cape Cod Community College. Bill was very active in town organizations as president of Cape and Islands American Heart Association and past director of Falmouth Academy, Mass Restaurant Association, Upper Cape Regional Vocational School Food Service, Falmouth Bank and Trust, State Street and Conifer Group. He was a past trustee of Falmouth Hospital and a member of the Otis Advisory Council. Bill was an auctioneer for many charities, Mass Maritime, American Heart Association, Jewish Congregation, Falmouth Artists Guild, Ducks Unlimited, North Hero Vermont Methodist Church, Falmouth Hospital, Bourne Society for Historical Preservation, and others. Bill is a veteran of the Korean conflict from 1953 to 1955. He served in the Army Quartermaster Corps and was stationed at Fort Lee, Virginia. After retiring, Bill loved spending his summers at his home in North Hero, Vermont. He was an avid antique collector and at one time had an antique business in West Falmouth and North Hero, Vermont. Bill was a member of the Marine Lodge Elks Club in Falmouth and a member of the First Congregational Church in Falmouth. Bill was a beloved father to his two daughters, Terry W. Breedenbatch of West Falmouth and Nancy L. Bissonnier of East Falmouth. A private burial is planned at Oak Grove Cemetery in Falmouth. A memorial service will take place on Friday, October 14, 2022 at 11 a.m. at the First Congregational Church, 68 Main Street, Falmouth. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in memory of Bill Wiener to Falmouth Academy, 7 Highfield Drive, Falmouth, Mass., 02540, or the First Congregational Church, 68 Main Street, Falmouth, Mass., 02540. For online guestbook, www.chapmanfuneral.com. The following residents, former residents, or family of residents of Falmouth, Bourne, and Sandwich recently died. Visit capenews.net to read the complete obituary news stories. Mary E. Adams, 82, of Falmouth, died September 18. Duncan P. Espinwall, 87, of Hanover, New Hampshire, died September 23. Donald F. Colleran, 94, of East Falmouth, died September 24. Philip N. Doust, Jr., 89, of Pittsfield, died September 20. John N. Hines, 75, of East Falmouth, died September 16. Joseph C. Martina, 92, of Falmouth, died September 20. Nancy J. Nygaard, 89, of Bourne, died September 25. Barbara D. Poole, 81, of East Falmouth, died September 10. Willard C. Wiener, 92, of Mashpee, died September 19. And now moving on to the Mashpee police logs. The following are excerpts from the Mashpee police logs dated Thursday, September 22 through Wednesday, September 28. Thursday, September 22, 8:22 a.m. Following a motor vehicle stop on Route 151, Officer Nicholas Fitzpatrick issued a summons to Douglas Shepro, 68, of East Falmouth for unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle and texting while driving. Friday, September 23, 9:06 a.m. Following a motor vehicle stop on Echo Road, Officer Matthew Koch issued a summons to Purvis Z. Dolch, 25, of Middleborough, for operating a motor vehicle with a suspended registration. Saturday, September 24, 7:44 a.m. Following a warrant service on Forest Drive, Officer John Demetris arrested Leslie E. Townsend, 42, of East Sandwich for a warrant out of Wrentham District Court for conspiracy to violate drug laws, a warrant out of Essex Superior Court for a subsequent offense of possession of a Class B substance, and a warrant out of Falmouth District Court for credit card fraud. Sunday, September 25, 9:53 p.m. Following a motor vehicle stop on Asher's Path East, Officer Demetris issued a summons to Yukimara A. Neves, 18, of Hyannis, for unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle and a motor vehicle equipment violation. Monday, September 26, 9:31 a.m. Following a motor vehicle stop at the Mashpee Rotary, Officer Fitzpatrick issued a summons to Vladimir Music, 31, of Eastham, for unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle and no inspection sticker. 10:04 a.m. Following a motor vehicle stop on South Sandwich Road, Officer Gillian Brown issued a summons to Daniel Powers, 23, of Mashpee, for operating an uninsured motor vehicle. Tuesday, September 27, 9:44 a.m., following a motor vehicle stop on Quashnet Road, Officer Koch issued a summons to Zachary S. Nemec, 26, of Fall River, for operating a motor vehicle with a suspended license, uninsured motor vehicle, and operating a motor vehicle with a revoked registration. 3:16 p.m. Following an altercation at the Exxon Mobil gas station at the Mashpee Rotary, Master Officer Kevin Fry arrested Stephen R. Ware, 31, of Falmouth, for disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, resisting arrest, and carrying a dangerous weapon. Wednesday, September 28, 8:08 p.m. Following a motor vehicle stop on Route 130, Officer Christian Oberg issued a summons to Clifford I. Johnson, 46, of Dorchester, for unregistered vehicle, uninsured motor vehicle, attaching plates, and a motor vehicle lights violation. Moving on to the results from Falmouth District Court, Friday, September 23, arraignments. Justin J. Saunders, 36, Davis Street, New Bedford, possession of a Class B drug on July 23 in Mashpee, pretrial hearing set for November 8, released on personal recognizance. Francis H. Bernaccio, 49, Cape Drive, Mashpee, leaving the scene of property damage on August 6 in Mashpee, pretrial hearing set for November 8, released on personal recognizance. Dispositions. Darren Brennan, 27, Pitcher's Way, Hyannis, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle, unregistered motor vehicle on July 30 in Mashpee, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle to be dismissed on payment of $200 in court costs, unregistered motor vehicle found not responsible. Andre R. Dos Santos, 35, 2nd Street, Framingham, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle, vehicle on August 1 in Mashpee, to be dismissed on payment of $100 in court costs. Monday, September 26, arraignments. Roger L. Gunn, 64, Great Neck Road North, Mashpee, miscellaneous motor vehicle equipment violations, operating a motor vehicle with a suspended license, subsequent offense on August 11 in Mashpee, pretrial hearing set for October 20, released on personal recognizance. Dispositions. Anderson McQueheny, 33, Rosemary Lane, South Yarmouth, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle on August 8 in Mashpee, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle dismissed on request of the Commonwealth. Tuesday, September 27, dispositions. Aroldo Garcia Felipe, 22, Annis Court, Brockton, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle, speeding on July 21 in Mashpee, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle to be dismissed if $100 in court costs are paid forthwith, speeding, not responsible. Wednesday, September 28, dispositions. Stephen A. Bostwick, 70, East Falmouth Highway, East Falmouth, shoplifting by asportation, third offense in Mashpee on June 17, shoplifting by asportation, pleaded guilty, sentenced to 30 days at Barnstable County House of Corrections. Time served, all fees remitted. Remains found in Brewster could close bridge suicide case. This story is by Ryan S. Davis. The partial human remains discovered on a Brewster Beach last weekend could bring closure to the case of the missing body of a man who jumped to his death from the Sagamore Bridge earlier this month. On Saturday, just before 9 a.m., a person walking along the shore near the Ocean Edge Resort in Brewster reported finding partial human remains. The Cape and Islands District Attorney's Office said it appeared that the body had been in the water for a considerable amount of time. When Sandwich authorities heard about the find, they got in touch with Brewster Police, wondering if it might be the remains of the man seen jumping into the Cape Cod Canal in the early morning hours of September 9. The initial eyewitnesses' report of the incident was confirmed with video footage from a bridge camera. Police, firefighters, and the Coast Guard searched the Cape Cod Canal for more than half the day, but did not find a body. Officials said they would be monitoring nearby beaches for any signs of the victim in the coming days. 2 weeks went by with nothing found. According to the expert I spoke with, he was supposed to wash up on a Sandwich beach 2 to 3 days later, and he never did, said Officer Mike Wood of the Sandwich Police Department. Officer Wood said he spoke this week with Brewster authorities about the body found in their town. They are unable to establish identity, he said, so they have to wait for DNA. Officer Wood did not know how long it would take for the DNA samples to be processed. The investigation is ongoing with collaboration between the Brewster Police Department, Massachusetts State Police Detectives assigned to the District Attorney's Office, and the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. Man sentenced to jail following hit and run. This story is by Noel Anonin. A man pleaded guilty on September 14 to a fatal hit-and-run crash in Falmouth that occurred on September 10, 2021. Michael E. Mahoney from Mashpee pleaded guilty to motor vehicle homicide by negligent operation and leaving the scene of personal injury and death. He was sentenced to serve 2 consecutive terms of 18 months, followed by 5 years of probation. 81-year-old Michael Lease from Falmouth was walking with his family and friends near 201 Grand Avenue at about 11:30 p.m. when he was struck by a car. He was pronounced dead at Falmouth Hospital soon after. None of the other pedestrians was struck. Mr. Mahoney was reportedly speeding when his vehicle went up onto the sidewalk and struck Mr. Lease from behind. He then fled the scene. Falmouth police found the car 4 days later, and detectives soon after presented the gathered evidence at a Barnstable County grand jury trial. State police assisted with the investigation. Mr. Mahoney was arraigned on the charges on December 24. Assistant District Attorney Michael K. Giardino prosecuted the case with Judge Mark Gilday presiding. Mr. Mahoney was previously arrested in Mashpee in September 2020 for operating under the influence of liquor and negligent operation of a motor vehicle. Bridge replacement projects turned down for federal funding source. This story is by Michael J. Rausch. Federal officials have turned down an application from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers seeking federal funding to help pay the cost of replacing the aging Bourne and Sagamore bridges. The cost to replace the 2 spans has risen from its original estimate of $1.5 billion to approximately $4 billion. The Army Corps submitted an application for funding through INFRA, the Nationally Significant Multimodal Freight and Highway Projects Grant Program. The application was denied. However, the state's federal representatives are not concerned about the request being turned down. U.S. Representative William R. Keating, Democrat from Bourne, said the INFRA program was never considered to be a main source of funding for the project. Representative Keating added that Massachusetts Department of Transportation Secretary Jamie L. Tesler even said the bridge replacement project is not a good fit for that specific program. Representative Keating said the project is more suited for the National Infrastructure Project Assistance Grant Program, which supports large-scale, complex projects that offer economic mobility and safety benefits. He said the Army Corps is seeking more than $1 billion from that program. Representative Keating also pointed out that the federal government is required by statute to replace the two spans. There are a number of other federal funding sources that can be tapped, he said. In recent years, the aging bridges have required increasingly frequent repair and maintenance, which is costly and causes significant slowdowns for traffic crossing the Cape Cod Canal. In spring of 2018, extensive repairs to the Sagamore Bridge reduced traffic to one lane in each direction for several months and caused major gridlock. The same situation occurred a year later with needed repairs made to the Bourne Bridge. The National Office of the Army Corps of Engineers issued a major rehabilitation evaluation report in April 2020. In that report, the Army Corps formally adopted the recommendation of its New England district to construct two new bridges that conform to modern highway design standards. The New England district's draft report recommended new structures that will include four travel lanes, two in each direction across the canal, and two acceleration-deceleration lanes built to modern highway standards. The bridges would also be built with appropriate bicycle and pedestrian access. Replacing the bridges, instead of continuing to repair them, was also the recommendation of MassDOT's Cape Cod Canal Region Transportation Study Group. The study group presented seven scenarios, each designed with the assumption of both bridges being replaced. In July of 2020, a new memorandum of understanding was signed that officially transferred ownership of the replacement Sagamore and Bourne bridges from the Army Corps to MassDOT. Under the new memorandum, MassDOT accepted ownership of the new canal bridges and agreed to perform the work required to replace the existing bridges. County receives grants to develop low-cost wastewater utility. Using bipartisan infrastructure law grant funds of $1.15 million from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Southeastern New England Program, or SNEP, and $100,000 from the Nature Conservancy, Barnstable County is in the process of implementing a Regional Responsible Management Entity, or RME, program over a five-year period. The program will benefit Cape Cod's 15 towns and their residents by providing cost-effective residential wastewater management support, similar to a sewer utility, the Barnstable County Department of Health and Environment wrote in a press release. The primary goal of the RME program is to give homeowners the tools they need to make environmentally beneficial decisions about on-site wastewater treatment. For example, when a standard Title V septic system fails in an ecologically sensitive area, a participating homeowner would have the option to install a better-performing, innovative alternative septic system under the RME. Homeowners would receive assistance identifying the best available technologies with assurance of proper design, installation, and long-term maintenance, including inspections, pumping, and basic repairs. Further, third-party performance data would be collected from all participating systems, keeping municipalities informed of system effectiveness and helping them meet total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, for nitrogen and phosphorus. According to Emma Gildesgame, climate adaptation scientist for the Nature Conservancy, the responsible management entity is a major step forward in expanding the toolbox of solutions for clean water on Cape Cod alongside sewer expansion, wetland restoration, and other innovations. It is critical that we reduce the nutrient loads that lead to harmful algae blooms on Cape Cod and protect the health of the iconic watershed and its beaches, EPA Regional Administrator David W. Cash said. Thanks to President Biden's historic investment through the bipartisan infrastructure law, we are able to make a significant investment in septic system management practices for the Cape that will help reduce nutrients leaching into the waterways. Sheila R. Lyons, chairwoman of the Barnstable County Board of Regional Commissioners, added, "Wastewater remediation on Cape Cod is not one size fits all. This program takes the burden off homeowners by providing assistance for a process that can oftentimes be complicated and overwhelming. It's going to be a lot of work, but it will be well worth it for our communities." Senator Edward J. Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, extended his support for the program, stating, "Thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, Barnstable County officials have secured key funding to improve the region's wastewater management systems. This investment will help ensure that Cape Cod and Buzzards Bay waterways are protected for marine species and all those who live in and enjoy the Cape's iconic beaches and waterways." The grant funds through SNEP and the Nature Conservancy will help to get the RME program started, along with support from partnering towns, the Barnstable County Clean Water Coalition, the Buzzards Bay Coalition, Pleasant Bay Alliance, and the New England Water Environment Association. Ongoing costs and program self-sustainability will be covered by RME user fees. And now for next week's meetings. Monday, October 3, Select Board in the Wequoyat Meeting Room, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 4, Special Town Election at the Quashnet Elementary School, 150 Old Barnstable Road, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, October 6, Board of Health, Pompanesset Meeting Room, 6 p.m., Community Preservation Committee at the Senior Center Conference Room, 6:30 p.m. Friday, October 7, Voter Registration Deadline for Town Meeting at the Town Clerk's Office by 5 p.m. Well, folks, that's all I've got time for today. This is Greg, your reader, saying thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a great week. Be safe out there, and bye for now.